Oh, oh, oh. Yeah. Yes, Lord, we give you praise. You're deserving of all the praise, all the worship, and all the adoration. What can we render unto you, great Jehovah, for all the awesome things you've done for us? The very fact that we slept last night and woke up this morning, how awesome is that? That you awakened every aspect of our person, spirit, soul, and body. That we're able to use our own limbs, our own eyes, our own ears, our own feet, our own mouth. Lord, you have been gracious to us. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. We celebrate you, O God, and we celebrate every day that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad. Blessed be your holy name. Take this time, O God, to pray for Mama Teresa Cerullo as she comes to another day that reminds her of the passing of her husband, our spiritual father, Papa Maurice Cerullo. Be the God of peace and comfort to her. Lord, O God, let the legacy of this your servant continue. Let spiritual sons and daughters all around the world be spiritually energized to carry forth the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, to preach, to teach, to disciple, to bring healing to your people. Everywhere. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to have you here this wonderful evening, this day that the Lord God Almighty has made for you and I to rejoice and be glad. This morning, I began sharing with us from the Word of the Lord about where we are in terms of the movements of the Spirit of God, and reminding us that God is for us, and if God is for us, no one can be against us, especially since we are the ambassadors of the Most High God. We talked about the fact that before God starts anything, he finishes it. We address the issue of not despising small beginnings or despising the starts that you have in your life. We talked about the fact that nothing happens by accident, that everything is under the auspices and the grace of God. At the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, the Word of God says. My steps are ordered, your steps are ordered of the Lord. And the bottom line to it is this, that we have no place for complaining, for griping, because God is for us. And he's already finished it before he started. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, a lot of things happen between the beginning and the ending that we may not understand. But because it's happening and it may be seem negative, does not mean that it's not part of God's strategic plan. God causes all things to work together for our good. Now, when we have that posture in living our lives, we know this to be true then, that we are going to arrive at our destination. Jesus, our Lord, said to his disciples, "Let us go on to the other side." And immediately he goes to sleep. A storm comes, begins to toss that boat hither, thither. and water is pouring into the boat, and Jesus is still sleeping. The disciples are overwhelmed by what was happening. They thought they were going to die. And if you understand that these were fishermen, and this is the waters that they've been traversing, going forth to and fro during the times of their profession, and that they've seen storms before. For them to classify this one as one that is beyond them, because they were bailing water, because that's what they used to do, and they got good results. The storm finally ends. But this was an unending storm. The more they bailed out the water, the more water was pouring in. And they thought, our goose is cooked. We're going to die. But wait a minute, why is this guy sleeping? He should join us. They wanted him to join them to keep on bailing water out. And sometimes we want the Lord to come join us to do things the way we are doing it. Listen, if you ask God to come help do something, forget about how you were doing it. Because how you were doing it was not working. It was not working not because it couldn't work, but because the problem you've got is bigger than the systems that you have put in place. He said, let us go on to the other side. And he went to sleep because he knew it didn't matter what happened between where we got started from to where we're going. We are going to arrive at the other end, because when I talked to Father today, he didn't say I was going to die today. I have a purpose, and the purpose is to go to that cross. And the time for the cross is not near. It's not time. I'm not going to die. When you have that resolve in your spirit, there's nothing the devil can do to scare you. Because I've not finished what I'm here for. I'm not going to die before my time. In fact, God says that if I honor him, he will give me more days. I will live longer than I was supposed to live. So I can do more than I was supposed to do. Because precious is the death of his saints. He needs every single one of us in place to accomplish his purpose. Amen? Hallelujah. But when God gives us an extension, we must not waste it. When we have that word of the Lord, we must not live recklessly. Some people think, I'm going to arrive, I can live recklessly. No. The man who shot himself and killed himself by suicide, killed himself. It's called suicide because it's a suicide. You terminated your destiny. And so it is about living the life of sin. God has his purpose. That's where you should arrive. It is finished. It is done. But you decide to terminate it. I pray in the name of Jesus that none of us will terminate the purpose and the vision of God for our lives, but that we will follow through step by step by step and fulfill our destiny. God has a mandate for my life, and that mandate will be honored because he gives me grace to be able to fulfill that mandate. Amen? Praise the Lord. So there were lots of things that we talked about this morning. And I want to continue from a passage of scripture that I ended up with this morning. I read through it fairly quickly to wrap up the morning message, but I'm going to pick up from that particular passage of scripture this evening, and hopefully I'm able to complete it as I should. It's found in the book of Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. When you go into the Bible and you look for the word overflow, the first use of it is found in this particular book in the 4th verse. And it had to do with the destruction of the enemy. God raises his standard like a flood against the enemy. So when we talk about overflow, we're talking about, yes, the blessings of the Lord. But we're also talking about judgment on the enemy. And the primary use of that word, believe it or not, has to do with judgment of the enemy, overflow. God coming against the enemy of our souls, raising up that standard against the powers of darkness, drowning the powers of darkness. And would you know it? When God, by his Spirit, overflowed the army of Egypt, a lot of debt was canceled that day. Because there was nobody to pay back. They were all gone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is on my side. God is on your side. Don't forget that. And if God be for me, who and what can be against me? The Bible says that they pursued after Israel. How he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you. Anyone, anything that is pursuing you to capture you, pursuing you to render you helpless and without hope. Today, by the authority of the Word of God, may the flood of God wipe them out. If it be sickness, if it be lack, if it be strife and confusion, doubt of purpose and destiny, whatever that enemy is, it must not escape the judgment of God in Jesus' mighty name. When the word overflow is used, like I said, it's primarily about judgment. But it is also about the overflow of the blessings of God in our lives. God says, I will pour out my blessings upon you and you will not have room enough to contain it. God has a purpose, and his will shall be done in me and in you. Amen? In Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning to read from verse 8, Deuteronomy 11, beginning to read from verse 8. I can just see now that I'm not going to even finish. He says, therefore shall you keep all the commandments. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day. It's interesting how when God speaks about his commandments and obedience to it, he always asks that statement, this day. Today I give you a command. What is the command? He says, I'm giving you this command for some reasons. Reason number one, that you may be strong. What? The command is so that I may be strong? Yes. When God gives us a command, it's not to grieve us. When God gives us a command, it's not to reduce us. When God gives us a command, it's not to intimidate us. When God gives us a command, it is to strengthen us. Strengthen to do what? So that you can go in and possess your possession. It is mine. Why do I need strength to possess it? It is so much. You need strength to handle it. The Lord says that he'd already defeated the enemies. And we have the same promise. He says that I've already defeated the enemies. I've made a public show of them. The reality is, we need to know how we can get what is rightfully ours. Said something to us this morning, that prayer is not you telling God something, but prayer is God telling you something. Don't forget that. When you approach God in prayer, don't go telling him stuff that he already knows about. Go asking God, what do you have to say about this situation? Because he is calling you to be an enforcer of the victory that is already given to you. You're already victorious. The victory has been won already. You are just enforcing it. You are possessing your possession. And you have to have a strength in your mind, in your tongue, strength in your hands, strength in your feet. So what does that mean? It means that you know 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 that this belongs to you, and nobody's going to talk you out of the blessing that God has decreed is yours. I am the healed of the Lord. And therefore, I do not take possession of sickness. I take possession and enforce the health that God has given to me. I enforce the will of God by saying what God says. I had a very interesting dream. It was, I guess, Saturday morning. And I was preaching to some people, preaching the word of the Lord. And I said to them, I said, listen, don't let the devil, like a bird, build a nest on your head. Don't let the enemy settle or have security to land on your head. I said, this is how you do it. Are you ready to hear this? I said, every bird will move if you shake your head. I said, if it tries to land, you just shake your head. And when you shake your head, you are saying, no. Oh, I woke up, I said, no. Glory to God. No. That's not for me. And that bird of the air that wants to settle in your mind will move. It has to move because it is laden with fear. I don't know if you heard that. It has fear. The devil has fear. God doesn't have fear. The devil has fear. God does not give me the spirit of fear. Therefore, I do not receive any fear. I said something to us this morning. I know I'm not going to even get close to finishing this message today. Oh, but it's going to be good anyway. I said to us, when you get home, get all of those spirits, everything that does not belong to God, get it out and do what? Kick it. How many of you got to do that? You did it? Good. The rest of you, it's not too late. Do it. Go to every room, every crevice of your house. Say, hey, come. Whatever it is that fear, doubt, confusion, poverty, lack, sickness, disease, foolishness, divorce, pain, confusion, whatever it is your name is, come on, follow me. Out. You go to that closet, out. Every corner. Get outside and say, there you go, to the footstool of Jesus. Right now, you don't have any right. This is the embassy of the living God. And from now, instead of you causing problems here, you make sure that no problem comes here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We give no room to the devil. We say, absolutely no chance of you operating here. The Lord rebukes you. Praise the Lord. Anyway, the word of God says there in Deuteronomy 11 and verse 8, he says, I want you to be strengthened because you obey my commandments to go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it. The land that you're going to possess, you need strength when you get there to possess it. And the way for you to possess this is to obey my commandment. But what commandment is this? It goes on and says in verse 9, it says, for the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt. It's not like the land of Egypt. This is a land that flows with milk and honey. And it's not like the land of Egypt in this sense. In Egypt, you had to sow your seed. You had to water it by walking around. You know, during the summer, we get to put flowers and plants and herbs and whatever else, and we walk around and we water it. I have a dear son that helps me a great deal with that. You know, every other day will come and we'll water my plants and stuff like that, and when I'm able to do it, I do it. And generally, we walk around and, you know, water each plant. This is what they did. They did not have, watch this, they did not have running water. They did not have the machinery of irrigation. So whatever it is that they planted, they had to water physically. Go to the well, get water, and come back and water it. That's called hard work. God says, listen, everything that happened in Egypt for you, even to the sowing of seeds so that you can have a crop, so that you can eat, it was all hard work. He says, but where I'm taking you to, it's not going to be hard work there. There is going to be a switch. He says, in Egypt, from whence you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot. You walked around, watering your garden of herbs. He says, but the place I'm taking you to, whether you're going to possess it, okay, this is the land you're going to possess, it's a land of hills and valleys. And it drinketh water of the rain of heaven. This is a place, a land of hills and valleys. It should be harder going up the hill trying to get water. He says, but you're not going to have to work hard because I am going to send rain from heaven. And not only am I going to supply the rain to water all of your plants so you don't have to walk all around, the only work you're going to have to do, watch this, is harvesting. Huh? Aren't you awed by the goodness of God that all I need to do is harvest them? As I reflected by the Spirit on the Lord says, don't you call Winnipeg a hard place. Don't you call any city that you are in hard for souls. I say it is harvest. And when you go out, expect to win souls. Praise the Lord. Expect to what? Win souls. I don't know what country this was, but I was watching a clip, a video clip, and I saw a tree in this clip. It was filled with oranges. Oranges. And here comes this guy with his tractor and machinery. It wrapped around this particular tree, something like a net, and began to shake the tree. And all the oranges started dropping into this device. But what caught my attention was this. It said in the clip that this particular city, just like you have cities with trees, they planted orange trees. Huh? So all of their streets are filled with orange, 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 orange trees. Guess what? You know what kind of money they're going to make from all of that? They're going to be exporting all kinds of oranges because it's right there. They didn't just plant anything. They planted something with a purpose. Why do I say that to you? God has already ordained that you and I come into a land flowing with milk and with honey. He's called us to a place of supernatural abundance. And our eyes need to be open to the reality that God has already blessed us. And that the God who has blessed us already has already determined that if we stand in agreement with Him, nothing evil shall come in our pathway. Hallelujah. It's a promise of God. So when we go out at our workplace, on the bus, in the mall, on our street, our neighborhood, we can boldly say, God, you said that you've brought me to a place of harvesting. He says in John 4, don't say the harvest is going to come. It's already here. All I'm lacking is laborers. So pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. There is not a city that is too difficult. God's power can break into every city, break into every state or province, break into every community, break into any country, any continent. For his word says that his spirit shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So my mindset needs to be the mindset of God. Hallelujah. It says it's a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. It goes on and says, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. In other words, his eyes are on it and he's caring for it. He is the gardener, the husbandman. Glory to God. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. That which is my possession in him, God's eyes are always upon it, protecting it, caring for it. It says, and it is from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Guess what? Every year, there is a beginning of the year, and there is going to be an end of the year. And God is really saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, and I take care of everything from the beginning to the end and everything in between. I got you covered. Hallelujah. I got you covered. Don't fret. Don't worry. The 13th verse says, it says, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken, and this is the caveat, this is the if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day. And what is this commandment? To love the Lord your God. That's it. To love the Lord your God. To love the Lord your God. And to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's all. That's the commandment. When we think about the commandment, most times people think about thou shalt not this, and thou shalt not that, and thou shalt not this. The Lord Jesus Christ summarized it all. He says it's about loving God and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Love God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love God, you must love you. You cannot love a neighbor if you don't love yourself. Your treatment of your neighbor is a clear manifestation of what kind of love you have for yourself. So, Pastor, what does that mean? If you lie to your neighbor, then it is because you like to be lied to. So, no, I don't want anybody to lie to me. Okay, then if you don't want people to lie to you, don't lie to people. If you steal from somebody, you must like people stealing from you. No, I don't want anybody stealing from me. Then if you don't want that, then don't steal from people. You like deceiving people? Well, you must love being deceived. You like not to help people, then you must not like to be helped. Whatever it is that you're doing to other people, you love for yourself. It is not a choice. It's just the truth that you will experience. Whatever it is, you know, there are people, you know, let me use the church as a setting. All they come to church and all they want is they're not going to give their best, but they want the best. I want to learn everything I want to learn, get everything I can gather, and then when I know everything that I think I need to know and I'm satisfied that I know it already, then I will go and start something else. But then I'm going to want everybody to support me with all of their heart. Joker, you're going to get exactly what you put in. If you were a traitor, expect traitors. If you're not a traitor and people are trying to be traitors around you, don't change your posture of being faithful and loving. Because once you change that, you embrace that spirit, and that spirit will overcome you. You know that if an enemy is trying to attack you and trying to mess you up, and they don't succeed, is because you are not the same spirit as them. So don't be ever. You see, a traitor betrays you so that you can fail. You get a picture? But when they betray you, and instead of you failing, you step up higher, it tells you what kind of a spirit the person that they try to betray has. Don't ever let anybody make you not to love. That's the point. Just love people. Care. Love God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. The next verse says, that I will give you the rain of your land in His due season. The first rain and the latter rain. That thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Oh, that's good. That's good. Gathering in your corn, your wine, and your oil. Remember what I said earlier, that when we're talking about overflow, the overflow is primarily judgment against the enemy. But there is another use for the overflow that has to do with the anointing and the favor of God on my life and on your life. The Bible tells us in the book of Joel, let's go there for a quick moment and we'll come back to Deuteronomy 11 and 14. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 24, God speaks and He says, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. This is the overflow of God. So when God says in Deuteronomy 11 and verse 14 about you getting the corn, harvesting the corn, and the oil and the wine, He's talking about this overflow. The overflow that He's releasing into our lives in its due season. What is this? It is the harvest. And God is saying, I have a harvest for you that you need to be strong for. And your strength is determined by your love. There are many people who are desiring the anointing of God, but don't have a love for God or for His people. They just want power. But there's no attention to love in people. If you love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, then the overflow is a guaranteed consequence. You are just going to be anointed because you love God and you love His people. If you don't want to have somebody con you, don't be a con. Don't be a con artist. If you don't want people to rip you off, don't be a ripoff. That goes for every single one of us, from the pulpit to the congregation. God has a grace available for every one of us. Hallelujah. The next verse says this. It says, and I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. In other words, I'm going to fatten your calves. I'm going to fatten your cows. And you're not going to have to go struggling looking for grass for them. I'm going to bring the food that your cows need, and you're going to have the meat that you need. Life is going to be easier. Praise the Lord. He says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. I spent some time on that verse this morning when I said to us, if you're so blessed, why will you be seeking after other gods and worshiping them? What are these gods that you're worshiping? And I said to us, those gods that you're worshiping are the gods of the blessing. The blessing that God has given to you, your attention is so focused on it. You're watching over the blessing, trying to protect it, trying to enjoy it, and you despise God. The blessing has become a problem. And God says, don't do that. Don't run and pursue after the blessing. Pursue after the blesser. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. But many times we are pursuing our agenda. What God has given to us, we are right there just doing everything, and it becomes our primary occupation. That goes for everything. If today I have a congregation in place, live, one-on-one, that has 200,000 or 300,000 people gathered together, and I think I have arrived. I have all the money. I have all the infrastructure, everything that I need. What I've been praying for, believing God for, it's here. And my focus ceases to be my relationship with God. Guess what this has become? An idol. So it relates everywhere. Your business can become your idol. Your wife, your children, your family can become your idol. Everything that you already have by the Spirit of God belongs to God, and you need to be able to surrender it. That's the one thing that God had to take care of in the life of Abraham. Abraham, this is a child that you've been looking for. The child is finally here. I want you to lay that child on the altar. Sacrifice the child. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Say, no. Find a scripture to out-talk God out of it. And says, well, God, if you want this, I'll lay it down because I know that you can raise it up again. Why did God ask for Isaac? Because Isaac, remember what I said to us this morning, I've said to us in the past, Isaac was, in a sense, God himself becoming the answer to the prayer and the desire of Abraham and Isaac, and Abraham and Sarah. He became the Isaac. And so Isaac had to represent the one who was going to be on the altar of sacrifice, the one who's going to be raised again from the dead. And when he was willing to lay that down, God says, you don't have to do it. Now I know. Your heart is in the right place. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to be Jehovah Jireh to you. And I'm going to be the God who manifests, brings into manifestation that which is hidden. That which was hidden was the ram behind that he passed through. I say in the name of Jesus Christ that you're not going to go past the blessings of God, that God will open your eyes to see what he has around you. That life will be easier for every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. It's never too late for God to do what God wants to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I am still about a quarter into the message from this morning and this evening, but I'm going to stop here. I'm going to stop here because I know that God will continue to speak in the wisdom of His Spirit into our lives, because His agenda is to generate heaven on earth for every one of us. Amen? Rise with me. Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha and Omega. There is no one like you. Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha and Omega, there is no one like you. Lord, we are rest assured by your integrity and by your word. We thank you for taking us out of Egypt and bringing us into a land where our focus is harvesting. Because everything that we need is provided for, making life easier and easier for us, not struggles. We're strengthened to possess our possessions, strengthened to bring in the harvest, strengthened to bring in the souls, strengthened to express with deep thanksgiving our appreciation for the wonderful things that you have done and continue to do. Lord, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, let it now come. Your will now be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Let our floor be filled with a harvest. Let there be an overflow of the oil and the wine. Let there be a tremendous change as we step from this, the seventh month and the tenth day to the 11th day. Let, O God, the grace and the anointing of a Joseph rest upon us that catapults us, O God, from the place of delay to the place and the presence of the knowing that, God, you have so graciously orchestrated every detail of our lives, moving us from the place of being tail to being head. We take our rightful place. We ask, O God, this day, that the love that you shed abroad in our hearts will be activated, that we will be energized by this love. And this love, O God, will be poured back to you, poured back, O God, into the lives of others, because you have overwhelmed us by the presence of your love. We embrace all that is wonderful, but we remember that it is not the blessing that we pursue. It is the blesser. Like the man at the beautiful gate who celebrated his healing, but whose true desire was to be in the temple. We come into the temple walking, leaping, and praising God. Yes, people may see us walking. They may see us praising. They may not want to acknowledge our leaping. But leap we do. We leap into higher levels. Supernaturally graced because your anointing has destroyed yokes and removed burdens. We declare judgment on every activity of darkness around us. They will not step into our homes. They will not step, O God, into our environment, into our businesses, into our place of employment. They will not step, O God, into our church. They will not step, O God, into any area that you've graced with your presence. We declare this day that anything that does not belong in our lives be uprooted and be consumed by the fire of the Most High God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we stand free, we stand strong, we walk in love, and we possess our possessions in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. If you've not done so already, this is the time to do that. Release that seed that God has placed in your hand and in your mouth, and know that God is a God who is multiplying your seed sown. Our giving is an expression of our love for God. It's us saying, God, I'm not just following some rules and regulations about giving. I just want to follow through with your directives for my life by expressing with thanksgiving your goodness to me. I give because I love you. I give because I honor you. You know what that means? It means that you give your best to God all the time. Tithing is, you may say, a minimum. It's God's way of breaking selfishness out of us. But if all you do is tithe, you really haven't really started. Your best place for giving is listening to God. Ask God, what do you want from me today? What do you want? What do you want me to give? If you can hear God concerning giving, you will hear God in every other area of your life easily. So when you learn how to hear God in your giving, you do yourself the greatest good. Because God will be able to talk to you about all other kinds of stuff, and you will not miss out. You won't. So practice that, so that God is glorified in every area of your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, in just a moment, I want the video for the declaration for this month and our announcements to be shared with us, so that you are aware of the happenings for this week and for this month. Amen? And just listen. If there's something that I need to clarify, I will come back. If not, this is my last statement to you today. Look forward to seeing you on Friday for prayer meeting. No Wednesday Bible studies.